Welcome back to Between Two Wings. I'm your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Jason Rabinowitz. He is an airline researcher and a passenger experience expert, and he also co-hosts the Flight Radar 24 podcast. Jason, thanks so much for coming on our show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Of course. Thanks again. So, you know, we like to start off by just explaining our backgrounds. I actually have up behind me my personal favorite in-flight entertainment, which is using ForeFlight to follow along on any flight I'm on. This one wasn't a commercial one, but I always have it up and people kind of give me funny looks and they're not exactly sure what I'm doing, but it's okay. It's
window seats, the best in-flight entertainment anyway, so you're doing it right.
Yeah. And I see over the years, I assume you've collected all those aircraft behind you. Is there anything about
my,
that?
My prized possessions back here. So just a lot of different aircraft models from my travels, industry shows, airlines. That in particular is a favorite of mine. That's a Lego Vancouver Airport Terminal and Air Traffic Control Tower, which I like.
You did make it yourself, right?
It was a pre-made kit of several hundred pieces that you had to follow a very specific guide to put together. But that's lots of fun stuff. That's there is the keys to the ceremonial keys to an American Boeing 777-300ER that I want on a delivery flight. So lots of stuff I'll grab on the way out of my apartment if there's ever a fire.
Definitely. What's the one you're going to grab first, though?
It's probably going to be those ceremonial keys because I've got the only pair for that plane.
There you go. Well, hopefully you never have to, you know, frantically try to pick through your collection on the way out for a fire. So tell us a little bit about your backgrounds.
So a little bit on my background, as you mentioned, I do some research for an industry-owned organization called ATP Co. And we go out basically, not always flying, but we catalog information about the in-flight experience, be it what you might see out the window like that, actual entertainment systems, power, Wi-Fi, all that good stuff that makes up the passenger experience these days. And we tell flight shoppers where they're going to get it, what flight they're going to get it, whether it costs something, it doesn't cost something. And I kind of, on the side, I do some work as an industry blogger. I write mainly, again, about the same things, the passenger experience, Wi-Fi, and just kind of whatever piques my interest these days.
How has it changed since you've kind of gotten into the industry in more of a professional way?
Well, it's definitely changed a lot since I started doing this in 2012, 2013, where a lot of the things we were looking at and categorizing back in 2013 was like, hey, you may get this, or like, hey, look for this specific flight that has the Wi-Fi. And now it's like, you expect all of these amenities pretty much on any flight. Like if you get on board a flight, you expect there to be Wi-Fi and you expect it to work and you expect it to be fast enough to stream Netflix. Whereas several years ago, that was kind of like a pipe dream. And now passengers just like something clicked and it's pretty much like, if I don't have it, why don't I have it? Why is this airline not giving this thing to me? At least here in the US, it's a little different elsewhere. In Europe, in-flight Wi-Fi is just really now hitting a critical mass, but it's definitely been fun to watch things go from a concept at a trade show like AIX in Hamburg to suddenly now just like my dad expects there to be a seatback screen with the football game on when he flies.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we get kind of like nitpicky about it too. Like, you know, like you said, like why is this not available? Like, what's the reason this is an old aircraft, or have they not, you know, refurbished it lately? It's really interesting to hear. So, you know, obviously with in-flight experiences, we do think about, you know, the Wi-Fi, the seatback entertainments, maybe even interactions with flight attendants or food. But what are some ways that pilots themselves can kind of better the experience for passengers, whether that be communication or anything else?
It's definitely communication there. I know there are some airlines that they try to encourage their pilots to get up to the front of the cabin before the flight, before they really start doing their checklist, and introduce themselves to the passengers on board, say, hey, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do our checklist. We're going to push back in 20 minutes. Here's the weather en route. We're going to do our best to avoid the turbulence, but sometimes it doesn't happen. That really seems to go a long way to kind of ensure the passengers that like, hey, there's people up in the front of the plane. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. They have your best interests in mind, and they don't want to go through turbulence any more than you do. So I think you hit it, that communication is by far the single most important thing that they can do.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, I mean, even as a pilot myself, you know, you sit in the back, you kind of like, you know, guess what's going on. You check all the like updates on like the apps or for the airlines, but you see people around you all the time that are just angry. Like they need more answers and they just want to know what's going on. So there can definitely be a disconnect sometimes. So maybe something to keep in mind. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. Yeah. If you're holding short of the runway for 47 minutes, just maybe say like, hey, we're like 13th in line. We'll get there eventually. Yeah. Not everyone has as much as an idea of what's going on as you or I or any other pilot does, mm-hmm. but a little bit of information goes a very long way.
For sure. And that kind of leads to one point is you're very active on social media, you know, through your job, the podcast, personal interests. And it seems like you kind of touch on a lot of different areas, whether it be, you know, just general aviation, like av geeks, flight simmers, pilots, or just anyone who just kind of wants to track airlines in general. What are some of the, you know, positive and negatives that can come out of this community?
So one positive thing is definitely what drew me into this community, I think at first is, I just touched on it there, is community. More than any mm-hmm. other industry I really know of or am involved in, the aviation community, especially commercial aviation, seems to be really, really active on social media, specifically Twitter, using the hashtag AvGeek, is yep. that a lot of pilots out there just want everyone to know everything that they know about the flying experience. They want them to bring them into the experience. They want to involve the younger generations to get them to be interested in flying. And it seems like most pilots are more than happy to answer pretty much any question you'll throw at them, and they'll answer that question during their 8-hour layover in Detroit or whatever. They got to do something, but it's a really welcoming, accepting community, which I think is great. And on the other hand, you mentioned what could be the downside is that sometimes there's a lot of noise in the signal that there's some people are tossing around a lot of maybe incorrect or incomplete or assumed mm-hmm. knowledge. Or anytime there's an air accident, really, you have a lot of experts coming out of the weeds and really make assumptions about what happened when they can't possibly know what happened. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes that kind of snowballs and the social medias and then kind of ends up in the mainstream media, which is never good.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely something that's happened. And there's been a lot of speculation recently, especially, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, the aviation industry is kind of like on the rise again. And we're trying to figure that out. But kind of touching on that a little bit, what are some of the potential positives to come out of, you know, this pandemic for the passenger experience? It seems like a lot was taken away at first and it's being slowly reentered. But any insights there?
Yeah, it's really interesting in that it's given all the airlines kind of an excuse to rethink the core of their purpose, the core of, mm-hmm. of what they offer. A lot of extraneous things that they may have offered that were nice to those who knew about it, but to the mass majority of people who didn't know they were a thing or wasn't really appealing, they're kind of gone now. And it's really given the chance for airlines, especially for things like catering, to let them rethink like, hey, maybe we don't need to serve a 4-course meal on this 3-hour flight. Maybe we can do a 3-hour, yeah. 3-course meal and give time back to people to enjoy a movie or look out the window. There are interesting like things like that. And also cleanliness obviously was a big thing during the pandemic. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but commercial aircraft generally look a bit cleaner these days than they did pre-COVID. It may just be a perception thing and how much talk there was about keeping the aircraft cleaner, but it seems like there's actually a concerted effort to keep the aircraft clean. And I haven't gotten sick since before COVID. So I always used to get sick when flying. So maybe it really is working.
Yeah, for sure. My mom's a flight attendant, so I have lots of stories there. But that's a whole other topic. But yeah, so looking forward a little bit into the future, what is something that you would like to see happen in commercial aviation in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Ooh, 5 to 10 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So I mean, looking at what you have right behind you have a nice iPad with a flight path and all sorts of waypoints and stuff like that. I'd love to see that stuff kind of, there you go, and you weather go. Radar. So we have like the base of that baked into like most of the in-flight entertainment screens. You get like a flight map, which has a plane icon the size of like Wisconsin, and you don't really know where you are. I'd love to see
my pet peeves as well.
Yeah, like we're coming into land and like the plane is just the size of Manhattan. Like, Like, it's not helpful. I can't tell where I am, but I love to see more detailed stuff like that brought right into like the passenger infotainment screen. So I can see like the weather radar around me and how we're not going through the storm cloud. We're going around the storm mm-hmm. cloud. And that's why we're making this little banking turn. There are some companies that have incorporated some pieces of information like that. I know like Panasonic is doing a little work, but I'd love to get, maybe this is a little niche. Maybe this is like me seeing that in the background and wanting mm-hmm. that, but I'd love to have some more like real information about what's going on during the flight, what we're experiencing, what we're going to go through, what our flight path is. Like if you're coming into JFK, you see it out the window like 30 minutes before you land, because you have to go all the way around mm-hmm. and like basically to Connecticut before you land. I know that's going to happen. The plane knows that's going to happen. The pilots know that's going to happen, but the passengers don't. Mm-hmm. And it should be easy enough to just draw the little flight path on the screen and say, we're going to go all the way around like this. It's going to take an extra 30 minutes, but now you'll know why we're going to be 30 minutes late. I would like to see that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's something I would definitely like to see. And it's kind of the fine line of what information's too much. Like, would people be afraid right. to see, you know, the big storms right there coming through? Would that be, you know, frightening or, you know, but, you know, I guess we want to find the exact solution for that right now, but
exactly. would be great. And it could be a personalized thing. If mm-hmm. a passenger says, I want to see more information, they can see that. Or if they say, I want to see the bare minimum, I want to know what time it is and what altitude we're at, then that's all they can see.
Definitely. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on here to talk to us a little bit today. It's been really great to see your perspective on things, and definitely everyone should check out Flight Radar 24 after you listen to this episode as well. It's a great podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Between Two Wings. We'll see you next time.